I love the beginning of the year for a lot of reasons, but one of the reasons I enjoy it is because I get to share with you our new congregational theme. And usually I've spent several weeks and months preparing the congregational theme, thinking about it, studying about it, praying about it. And so by the time that the first Sunday gets here, I'm kind of like a proud papa who's just bursting with joy to share with you the expectations I've got for the next year. So I really enjoyed this time of year, and I enjoyed this opportunity to share with you and introduce to you this morning our congregational theme for 2014 and our congregational theme verse. And so we're going to look at some of the specifics of what we're going to be doing this next year, and then we're going to end our lesson by looking at some of the biblical motivation behind it. But our congregational theme this year is going to be four words. Usually I have a phrase, and I work hard to try to make that a memorable phrase. But this time I've got four words. And I hope by the end of the year these four words are imprinted in our minds, and I hope that they are a part of our lives. Those four words are read, reflect, pray, and live. These four words have long been held as essentials for discipleship. In fact, when I sat down trying to think about what we would do this year together, I was thinking about what are some of the major themes of Scripture that helped God's people grow in their faith and be active in their service. And I kept coming back to these over and over. So I wrote down my list of four things, felt pretty good about it. And then I started to do some research about it, only to find out that those four things were on the list of disciples in the second century as essentials to living a godly life. Thinking, well, I certainly haven't found anything new, have I? Nothing new under the sun. But I hope that that means that they are fundamental, that they are important. The key to the success of our congregational theme has also been that we have shared these things together. And so this congregational theme is hopefully something that we're going to do as a group, as a spiritual family. We're going to have, to help us do that, I have put in your bulletin today and on the octagon table in the back, these handouts. And these handouts, one of them is a prayer list. The prayer list is the piece that is folded in half and front and back. And inside of that is the reading list. And so my hope is that this year as a church that we read through a section of Scripture every day together and that we are praying about the same thing together. We're going to be reading, reflecting, praying, and living. And these are some tools that I hope will help us develop those habits very well. If you'll notice on the reading list, it is a very brief reading list. In other words, each reading only has about 20 or 30 verses. Some of them are even shorter than that. And I've done that for a reason. I've done that so that everybody can participate. Even the young kids among us can participate. We have in times past read through the Bible together as a church, and that was exciting. But it was also a huge undertaking, and I remember people falling behind and going, well, I've only got 75 chapters and I can catch up, you know. But not with this one. With this one, it's going to be very easy for us to spend 5-10 minutes a day in the Word together. Now, I know that some of you will take this and say, well, I can read that whole thing in 2 days and I'll be finished. Yeah, you can, but don't do that. Let's go through it together. The purpose of this is not just to sprint our way through Scripture, but that helps us with the second thing we're going to look at. We're going to be reading and reflecting, meditating on what we're reading. So I've given us short enough sections of Scripture that we can read them concisely, quickly, but then think about them a little bit. What does that mean? What's God communicating to me in this section of Scripture? And so the readings are short. And the second thing about the reading list is that the reading list this year is going to be thematic. Thematic. We're not going to try to read through the Bible or read through the Old Testament or read through the New Testament. We're going to be reading sections of Scripture. And so this one is about the life of Christ. Over the next 3 months, we're going to be reading the life of Christ in a chronological order. In the months ahead, we'll also read through the prayers of the Bible. We'll read through the stories of the kings of Israel together. We'll read through the wisdom literature of Job and Psalms and Proverbs and Ecclesiastes and Song of Solomon together. And in these focused readings, I think it's going to lead us to some texts that we may not ordinarily look at or focus on. And so I hope that that is going to bring us to some new, therefore, knowledge and some new thoughts. With regard to the prayer list, the reason I've given us something to pray about every day is because on this prayer list, we deal with each major different type of prayer in the Bible. In the Bible, there are many different types of prayers. And in this prayer list, we're going to learn to pray all of them. We'll see more about that in a moment. But on your prayer list, the first week, we're going to exercise our ability to praise God in prayer. In the second week, we're going to exercise our ability to confess or to repent or to, as it says here, ask God for forgiveness in prayer. And then in the third week, we're going to spend that entire week learning how to pray for other people, intercessory prayer. And then the fourth week, we're going to learn how to pray for ourselves, what kind of thing the Bible says we're to pray about ourselves. Now, after having started the year together like that, looking at these four major food groups, the four major prayer groups, we're going to then, each week after that, incorporate each of those prayers into our week. And what I think that's going to help us do is I think it's going to help increase our prayer vocabulary. And it's going to help increase the subject matter of our prayers and help them be much more balanced than they maybe sometimes are. I'll get to that in a minute. But I hope this approach will help us have fuller and more balanced prayers. So one of the successes of our congregational themes is that we've done it together. We've experienced it as a spiritual family. But another thing that has made, I think, our congregational themes successful is that they are rooted in Scripture. They're emphasizing what the Bible emphasizes. In fact, I don't ever want to do a congregational theme that is not a major biblical theme. And so over the last few years, we have looked at the vital signs of the local church. And we scoured the New Testament to see what made local churches healthy. Then we looked at God's church is out of this world, where we looked at God's people living holy lives. And then we had a congregational theme called Let's Talk, learning how to use our tongue as the Bible teaches us. We had a congregational theme about growing in Christ, about daily discipleship, about rejoicing in the Lord, and about being shaped by God's grace. Do those all ring true in your mind? Do you remember some of those? Well, as fundamental as grace and joy and faith and growth and communication and holiness and righteousness are in Scripture, it's hard to find topics that are more fundamental to Scripture than hearing and reading God's Word, meditating on what He says, praying to God, and being obedient to Him. Those are just major biblical themes. And so I think that's one thing that's going to cause our congregational theme this year to be successful. You know, in previous congregational themes, I'm the one who did all the work. I prepared all the sermons, and I got them all organized, and I presented them and put together the PowerPoints. But this congregational theme is not going to be that way. In this congregational theme, you get to do the work. And I like that. So looking forward to your PowerPoints and your sermons. What I mean is that you get to do the reading. And you get to do the praying. And you get to do the meditating. You get to do the living. And my hope is that's going to cause us all to be changed, maybe even more effectively. And one of the reasons I've chosen to do it this way this year, because we do have Philip coming in later this month to work with us, and that's certainly going to diminish the amount of times that I'll be preaching to you this next year. And so the congregational theme I wanted to do in a little different way. So, congregational theme, four words: read, reflect, pray, and live. And this is going to be our congregational theme verse this year. Your word, we just sang it, didn't we? Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That's one I want us to have memorized this year. And notice that it touches on our themes. First of all, notice it's a prayer. Your word, the psalmist says. He is talking to God. This is a prayer that the psalmist is making to God, saying to God, your word is that which is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So it includes prayer. This theme verse also, of course, includes the need for God's word. Have you ever looked at it closely? Your word is a lamp unto my feet. When do you need a lamp? You need a lamp when it's dark outside. God's word is needed during times of life when we are confused and uncertain and things are difficult and unknown. Any of those lie ahead this year? Absolutely. God's word is a lamp to help us traverse them. But then God's word is also a light to my path. This is the idea that it's for the daytime. It is for the good times. It is to guide me in the long path. And so these two phrases really get to our need for God's word. We need God's word on immediate occasions to help guide where our feet is stepping when the day is dark. But we also need God's word to light up the path in the long distance to help me know where I'm going. God's word is good for all times. And then notice that this theme verse also talks about how God's word changes the way that we live. Live, the last word of our theme this year. Because God's word's about walking and paths and feet. It moves us to do something. So this theme verse is a prayer. It talks about our need for God's word, and it's intended to change how we live. So that's our congregational theme for this year. That's our theme verse. Now what I'd like to do for the rest of our time is just to give us all some motivation for why we should be excited to participate in this year. And the first thing I just want to start with is reading God's word. We need God's word. Jesus told us, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. God's word provides the life that we need for this new year. It also provides the happiness that we need for this new year. On one occasion, Jesus did a miracle, and a woman said, oh, blessed are you. And Jesus responded to her saying, she said, blessed is the womb that bore you. And Jesus responded to her and said, it is more blessed to hear the word of God and to keep it. You want to be more happy than having given birth to Jesus? Hear God's word and do it. That's a happy thing. David wrote in Psalm 119 in verse 2, happy are those who keep your testimonies, who seek you with their whole heart. David wrote again, I find my delight in your commandments, which I love. Want joy this next year? Then read God's word. God's word for the believer is the source of our energy. It's the source of our life. It's what motivates us. Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23, he said, "For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring Word of God. For all flesh, all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flower of the field. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord endures forever." Our bodies, our flesh, they wither, they die, but what keeps a Christian alive is that the Word of God within us stands forever. I mean, can you imagine somebody coming to my office next week and saying, "Tim, I'm just worn out. I just don't have any energy. I'm so tired and I don't know what's going on." And I say to them, "Well, when was the last time you ate?" And they say, "Well, hey, I eat a meal every Sunday morning, whether I need it or not. And I had mine last Sunday." What am I going to say? "Well, you probably need to go get something to eat and you'll feel better." God's word's like that for a Christian. It's what helps us feel better. It's what gives us the energy for life. It's what strengthens our faith. I remind us what Paul said in Romans 10 and verse 16. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. It is God's Word being read that is going to save us and those around us. This is what Paul said to Timothy. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4 in your Bibles. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13. Paul says to Timothy, "Till I come, give attention to reading Scripture, to exhortation and to doctrine." That's one of the things we're supposed to be doing. That's one of the reasons why I put the first word where I put it. This is one of the things we're supposed to be doing. Reading Scripture. After reading it, exhorting it. Encouraging people to do it. Teaching it as doctrine. But then notice what he says in verse 15. Meditate on these things. That's the second word. Read God's Word. Meditate on God's Word. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Paul's stressing that what Timothy needs to do in his work is he needs to read the Scriptures to people. He needs to meditate on what they say. He needs to then communicate it to people. And in so doing, he will save himself and those who hear him. Do you have anybody around you that you would certainly love for them to go to heaven? Maybe it's your family. Maybe it's your children. Maybe it's your people at work. Maybe it's other members of the church that you're friends with. One of the best ways that you can make sure you save yourself and those around you is by giving yourself to reading and reflecting and praying and living. Paul said, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it, in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, just as it is written, the just shall live by faith." How do you live? By knowing what the gospel teaches. So we need God's word. It is, in fact, a sign of our spiritual maturity. If we are not growing in our understanding of God's word, we are spiritually immature. The Hebrew writer said in Hebrews chapter 5 to the people, wanting to tell them about the priesthood of Jesus, he said, "I have so much more to tell you about the priesthood of Jesus, but you cannot hear it because your ears have become dull of hearing." And then he said, "By this time you ought to have become teachers, but you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. Because everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. He is a babe." Somebody who's unskilled in the word of righteousness is a babe. And so what we need is we need to devote ourselves to a study, a reading of God's word. It's what causes us to mature and to be more ready to understand God's will. But the second thing we need, and I can go on with the first point forever because Scripture certainly does emphasize it. But the second thing that we need is we need reflection. And I don't believe that we are a part of a very contemplative culture. I hear people say all the time, "I really like that music." And they say, "Well, why?" And they say, "Well, I just love the beat. I love the sound of his voice. I love the instrument that is in it." Or people say, "I really loved that movie." "Well, what did you like about it?" "Well, the special effects were great. CGI, I can't believe they can do those kind of things nowadays." And I think most of the people in our society watch their YouTube and their Hulus and their listen to their this and their that's and their pods and their pads and all that kind of stuff, not understanding that culture is stamping its image into their minds and hearts. And we need to be careful about what we allow our minds to resonate on and think about. And that's why in Scripture, meditation was so important. Taking time to reflect about godly things. Sometimes we get antsy in just the 5 minutes that we take the Lord's Supper. But in Scripture, in biblical times, they developed the habit of meditating on God and His Word and His actions. And it was so important. In fact, the psalmist begins with this. Psalm 1, verse 1. "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the paths of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. For his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law he meditates day and night." Psalm 119 and verse 15, "I will meditate on your precepts. I will contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. And I will not forget one word." Of course, in the New Testament, Paul would write in Philippians 4 and verse 8, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there is anything virtuous, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on those things." So meditation is just such an important function of growing in our faith. And that may take some work, but setting aside some time and thinking, when I read God's Word, I don't just close my Bible and run on to the next thing I've got to do. We're going to get in the habit of closing our Bible and then thinking. What does that mean? What should I do? And the benefits of meditation are so wonderful. Meditation helps us to understand God's Word more effectively. Meditation helps us to live God's Word more effectively. This is what God told Joshua right at the beginning of Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. He said, "The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe and do according to all that is written. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." That's how God told Joshua to begin his life in the new land. Read God's Word. Meditate on God's Word and live God's Word. And He says you will be successful. And meditating on God's Word provides joy for life. The psalmist writes, "I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways," he says, "and therefore I will delight myself in your statutes." There are just so many blessings that come from meditation, reflection, thinking about what God has done and said. And I hope to grow in that this year. But then thirdly, we all need prayer. Yeah, we need prayer for ourselves, yes. But what I mean here is that we need the practice and the habit of prayer. Reading God's Word and prayer often goes together. I thought about making a list, but I knew I wouldn't have time to go through it this morning, of the number of times in Scripture when a person read God's Word and it motivated them to pray. And I think that we'll find the same thing happening in our own lives as well. And that's why these two pieces of paper go together. And so this week, as you start to read the first one about the birth of Jesus, I suspect that if you read that and start reflecting on it, you'll find something to pray about with regard to what you read. And so while you are praying this sheet about God's Word is going to also be motivating your prayer life. And as a way of helping us in our prayer life, I don't only want us to think about scheduled prayers. I want us to think about sending up some arrow prayers. I think there's those two type of prayers in Scripture. There's the kind of prayer that Daniel did, where every day he went to his home and three times a day he bowed himself towards the temple and he prayed to God. There's scheduled prayer, and that's good. And I hope the sheet I've given you will help you with that. Then there are also in Scripture what's called, I call, arrow prayers. And this is like Nehemiah prayed in Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 4. When he appears before the king of Persia and he is depressed. And the king of Persia says, I noticed you're depressed. Which when the king of Persia says that to you, it means you're this close to losing your neck. And the Bible says that Nehemiah prayed to God and answered the king. Now, I don't think that he went, oh, excuse me, I got to go home for a minute. I need to pray and I'll come back. I got to go to my closet. No, it meant that in that split second, Nehemiah said, oh, God, give me wisdom. And he said, King, my people, their city is in ruins. The walls are down and it is hurting me. And the king said, well, go do something about it. Arrow prayers and scheduled prayers. And I hope that both of those are increased this next year. As a way to helping us memorize the major different types of prayers there are in the Bible, we're going to be looking at the acronym, PRAY. P-R-A-Y. You'll notice on your prayer sheet there, the first letter in that acronym, PRAY, stands for praise. And the first week, we're going to learn about how to praise God more effectively. R in that acronym is for repentance. This comes from the Lord's Prayer when He says, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Thy name, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. And then it is, forgive us our debts as we forgive those who have sinned against us. So there are praise prayers and then there are forgive me prayers, repentance prayers. And then the third thing we're going to look at is A, P-R-A, asking prayers. These are prayers where we ask God on the behalf of somebody else. Most of the prayers in the Bible, outside of the Psalms, are intercessory prayers. Prayers God's people prayed for other people. Even the Lord's model prayer is, give us this day our daily bread. Lead us not into temptation. Prayer is not a selfish activity. This next word, ask. Ask God on behalf of others will help make our prayers less selfish. And then fourth, yourself. Pray for the physical, emotional, and spiritual needs you have. Lay them out before God, like the psalmist so often does. And I think that that order is significant. Start with praising God. Recognize who you are and your need for Him and repent. Ask God to help others and then pray for yourself. The problem is we usually get that turned around. And we end up yarping rather than praying. Yarping is prayer backwards. Praying is going to help us get those things in the right order. Well, then the last thing is living. And I really do believe that once we have spent time in God's Word, meditated on what it says, and prayed about it, we will do something about it. It will drive us to action like nothing before. One of the reasons I'm excited about doing this year is several years ago, we read through the Bible as a church family. And it was a wonderful experience. And that year, I remember so much enthusiasm, so much excitement, so much service. And I really do believe it's because that reading was going on. And I look forward to that same thing happening this year. Well, I want to end our lesson by modeling it. Turn with me in your Bibles to Acts chapter 16. And we're going to begin reading a section of Scripture. Acts 16, verse 11. Acts 16, verse 11. Therefore, sailing from Troas, we ran a straight course to Samothrace, and the next day we came to Neapolis. And from there to Philippi, which is the foremost city of that part of Macedonia, a colony. And we were staying in that city for some days. And on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city to the riverside, where prayer was customarily made. And we sat down and we spoke to the women who met there. Now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira who worshipped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." And she constrained us. Here is a woman who is interested in spiritual things. She came out at a moment, at a time, at a place to pray. She did that regularly. And while she was there, she heard the gospel from Paul. And when she heard the gospel from Paul, the Lord opened her heart to understand and heed the things spoken by Paul. As a result, she was baptized into Jesus. After being baptized into Jesus, she begged for the opportunity to serve God and His people. Let's pray about that. Our Father, we're so thankful that You have chosen to communicate to us Your Word so that we can know You. And as we open up Your Word, we see that it teaches us truths about who You are and who we are. And we realize that we are sinners, that we are destined for separation from You for eternity without the death of Your Son. And we learn about this through the gospel that You have given us. We pray, Father, that today our ears would be opened through the Spirit-inspired words of Scripture so that we might understand who we are, sinners before You. That Jesus' death upon the cross, His resurrection from the grave, His ascension to Your right hand is the only way that You have seen fit to take away our sins, to lay them on Jesus, to allow Him to bear our sins in His body on the cross. And Father, if there's somebody here today who has not responded to that by being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of their sins, I pray that this word may move them to act so that they can have the forgiveness that's in You. And we also recognize, Father, that having been saved is not the last step. Help us to beg for opportunities to serve You and Your cause and Your people in this world. Thank You, Father, for saving us. Thank You for using us. Thank you for communicating to us. Strengthen us for your service, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. As the word read, as the word reflected, as the word prayed, does anybody need to act on it this morning? If you do, why don't you come while we stand and sing?